In the wee hours of June 6th, 1944, on the cusp of the D-Day invasion, British radio operators radioed French resistance fighters and asked this question: are you ready? The French resistance fighters wired back: yes, but if not. Yes, but if not. Knowing their Bible, those British radio operators understood they were alluding to those three Jewish brilliant young men who had been appointed to positions of leadership in Babylon, but who ran afoul of the king because they would not bow down to the gold-plated statue the king had made. And when the king learned of this and brought them before him and said to them, "You either bow down to that idol, or I will throw you in the furnace. Can your God deliver you from the furnace?" And this was their response: "We believe our God can. We hope that our God will. But if not, we will not serve you, but we will continue to serve our God. We believe God will deliver us, but if not, still we will serve our God." I feel privileged to talk to you on this eve of your adulthood commencement. I know that you have worked hard to develop your relationship with God, and I know that you're bright. So I can tell you the truth: the future is filled with uncertainty. The future cannot be known with clarity. Even when those French resistance fighters were wired by those British guys, "Are you ready?" And they said, "Yes, we are prepared." But they had no idea what would happen once the battle would start. There is an ineradicable mystery to life. You just have to deal with it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had no idea how things would transpire, but they did know one constant: whether we serve God by our life or by our death, we will serve God. If He delivers us, wonderful. But if not, still will we be faithful. Even Dwight Eisenhower, the general who planned D-Day, said, "Once the battle starts, all of our plans are useless because the future is unknown." Now, I will tell you this. You're going to find people, you're going to find Christians who will say, "Oh, look, just follow the formula. Just believe how I believe. And I promise you, all of the future will be managed. All of the future's uncertainty will be eliminated." That is not faith. That is blasphemy. That's magic masquerading as theology. The truth is, you would love to have a faith that could eliminate all of your suffering. It would not be faith. You'd love to have a faith that would give you everything you want. That would not be faith. You'd love to have a faith that would clarify everything that's going to happen, but that is not faith. Faith is having to deal with uncertainty. Faith is developing a relationship to God, a vibrant relationship to God. It allows you to stay strong. You do have a resource to deal with life's uncertainty. It's the great calm. The great calm that comes in the assurance that God will provide for you no matter what happens. No faith can eliminate life's uncertainty. But in the midst of uncertainty, you can draw from the great calm, the strength of God that will empower you to stay faithful and productive. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they have no idea what's going to happen to them. We believe that God can deliver us. But if not, whether by our life or by our death, we will be faithful to God. In the midst even of this life-threatening situation, they experience the great calm. Now, the truth is, to this point, all of you have tread a path that most of your friends have tread. Now you begin the process of choosing your own individual path. Even if you go to the same college as your friends, even if you live in the same dorm, you're about to make decisions that differentiate your life from theirs. You're going to experience some moments in the coming years that are going to devastate you. And you're going to cry out, God, why did you let this happen? You're also going to experience some extraordinary blessings, some amazing surprises, and you're going to cry out in joy, Lord, how do I deserve this grace? It's all a part of the pathway of life. Moments of abandonment, moments of exhilaration. But all along that spectrum, there is a constant, a sense of God's assurance. It will hit you, I promise you. It hit me in the shower my first week at college. When I realized everything about the life I have known to this point is over. My relationship to my parents is never going to be the same. My relationship to my friends is never going to be the same. I realized in that shower, everything about my life is changing. Intellectually, I knew graduation meant that. But emotionally, I hadn't realized that it meant everything about my life was in flux. And it meant, to my great amazement, my choices really mattered. I was to some degree on my own. My choices mattered. I gotta tell you, when I felt that feeling in that shower, I felt very alone. And I realized I had but one resource to throw myself upon: the providence of God, to deepen my friendship with God and rely upon His power. What I'm trying to say to you, I can explain by means of the parable of the Scream Machine. All of y'all ridden the Scream Machine at Six Flags, I trust, at one time or another? You know, you get on it, and it goes very slowly up the hill so you can see just how high you are. And then you go over the crest and it zooms down. And you twist this way and that way. And everybody is what? Screaming. Hence the name. But understand this. In the midst of that screaming, there is a great calm. In the midst of the screaming, there's a great calm. What do you mean, Dr. Grimmer? I mean by this. Even as people are going this way and that and screaming out in terror, they believe in their heart of hearts the Georgia Tech engineer who designed that thing knew what she was doing and would bring it back to where it started safely. In the midst of all of the gyrations, there's a confidence in the power of the designer. If you didn't have that confidence, you wouldn't get on the ride. If you didn't have confidence in the designer's skill, every twist and turn would be horrifying and terrifying. It's our confidence in the designer that gives us calm, that our screams are fun. It is, ultimately, your confidence in the designer of the ride of life that allows you, even amidst the turns, the highs, the lows, the moments of difficulty and horror, the moments of joy and exhilaration, amidst all of that, there is confidence in the designer of the ride. God knows what God is doing. If you have that confidence, if you have that confidence in the designer of the ride of life, you can always experience the great calm. Paul lived a very tumultuous life. He lived a roller coaster life. But amidst all of the horrible things that happened to him, he could say with great certainty the same thing that Russell said to the children today. I am convinced that not death, not life, not angels, not principalities, not powers, not height, not depth, not anything in all creation, not things present, nor things to come, can separate me from the love of God in Jesus Christ, my Lord. That's the great calm. That amidst the roller coaster of life, God will be there for you and provide for you and give you strength. And you can trust the designer of the ride. There are going to be times in your life when you're going to find your dreams stretch you. Every one of you is a person of accomplishment. But you need to know the higher your ambition, the greater the potential for despair, the greater the potential for failure. The higher you strive, the more likely you're going to fail some along the way. One of the most brilliant minds of the 20th century was Albert Einstein. Convinced that God had imprinted a print of order upon the universe. But search though he might, he could not find it. And after years of trying, he finally wrote to his best friend and said, I'm quitting. What I'm looking for is too hard to find. And yet his certainty of God's imprint was so real in his mind, he couldn't give up his quest. The day after writing that letter that said, I'm quitting, this insight flashed into his mind. The energy of the universe is equal to the mass of the universe multiplying to have the speed of light doubled, E=mc². God's imprint upon the universe came to him. You may not find such an extraordinary formula in your lives, but even in the midst of your heights and in your depths, find that God is faithful. Find that God will provide for you. Experience the great calm. I need to tell you that not every decision you make is going to be clear cut. Sometimes you're going to make decisions and you're going to wonder, did I do the right thing? Even amidst that uncertainty, you can experience the great calm. It's a political year, so I'll tell you a political story. It was the last Sunday before the presidential election in 1992, Bill Clinton was running for president. George Bush was president. And on that last Sunday, a couple of days before it, before the presidential election, I receive a phone call from a prominent North Carolinian who says, Dr. Krimmer, are you preaching Sunday? I said, yeah. He said, well, Bill Clinton wants to come hear you. He wants to be in church on Sunday. Is that okay? I said, anyone can worship with us. Sure. He said, I'll tell his campaign manager. 20 minutes later, he calls back and says, he'd like to sing in the choir. I said, no. To sing in our choir, you have to audition. And you have to come to rehearsal. And he can't do either one. Besides, his presence in the choir might be a little unsettling for worship. Man, since you're right, I'll tell the campaign manager. Now, all of this was hush-hush. So 20 minutes later, my phone starts ringing off the hook. And it doesn't stop ringing for the next 4 hours. I've got people furious at me because I've allowed Bill Clinton to come worship in our church. I've got people furious at me because we won't allow the next president of the United States to sing in the choir. I'm getting calls from in my church across the state. The political editor for the Charlotte Observer calls and says, "How can you not let the next president sing in the choir?" And I said, "Everyone has to follow the same rules." So the headline on Sunday's newspaper blared, "Preacher won't let Clinton sing." It was not a fun day. But in the midst of it, I bowed my head and I said, "Lord, I believe I have acted on principle. Everyone is free to worship with us, but everyone has to follow the same rules." But no one seems to agree. But even if my position is unpopular, and even if events prove me to be wrong, yet will I serve you, but I need to experience your peace. And within just a minute or so, amidst all of these tumultuous voices, I felt this extraordinary calm. 20 minutes later, another phone call. Same prominent politician. He says, "Dr. Krimmer, Mr. Clinton's campaign manager decided they have to be in Ohio instead, so they're going to be in Ohio on Sunday instead of Charlotte. I hope you hadn't been put to any trouble." "No," I said, "no trouble at all." I received lots of mail about that weekend, but I only remember one. A lady wrote me to say, "Dr. Krimmer, my husband was in the hospital across the street from your church with a serious heart condition. Knowing that I needed to be in worship, I slipped across the street to hear your sermon on Daniel." Dr. Krimmer, you will never know what those verses, "but if not," mean to me. I want my husband to be healed. I believe that God can heal him. And if he does, I will be ecstatic. But if not, I will be okay. But if not, I now know God's great calm. In your moments of uncertainty, in your moments of tumult and controversy, may you still know God's great calm. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are thrown into the fiery furnace, but when they check on them, there aren't three people in there, there are four. The three are brought out of the furnace. The presence of the fourth is never explained. He represented the protection of God. As you young people go into your adult lives, you don't go alone. You go with the protection of God. You go with the nurture and encouragement and support of this church. And you always have a home. May you use the gift that God gives you, the gift of life, to go forth and carve a life of service and joy. We are very proud of you, and we wish God's best for you. Go in peace. Amen.